Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. And welcome to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Really excited for this show because I love our topic, obstacles equal opportunities. Our guest is New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. DeMario was on the show after I spoke to him Super Bowl week in Atlanta, but I wanted to get him on again after what transpired a couple weeks ago in the NFL. DeMario was fined $7,000 by the NFL for wearing a Man of God headband, which is a uniform violation. Players are not allowed to write personal messages on, they can't do it on their cleats, they can't do it on their wristbands, yep. They can't do it on their eye black, they can't do it. So imagine when Tim Tebow wore John 3:16 or any of that. So you good. Get fined for that in the NFL. And oh, well. Except there's only one week when the NFL allows that. It's my cleats. Yeah, yep. My Cause, My Cleats campaign. And I learned from John Runyon that the charities in that have to be pre-approved. You have to be a C3. Okay, right. Yeah, yep. It has to be right. Pre-approved. So, and DeMario's not the first guy to get a silly fine like this. And this one in 2015 became a big deal too. Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams was fined. Back then, the first time offense was $57.87, almost $6,000, because he wore Find the Cure on his eye black. Wow. To raise some awareness for breast cancer. His mom had died of breast cancer. He had petitioned the NFL to wear pink other than just in October,
right,
and was not allowed to do it. William Gay, his teammate, he was fined the same amount for wearing purple cleats to show support for domestic violence. William's mom was killed by his stepdad when he was 7. I don't know if you remember this. A few years ago, I did an event with William Gay just to raise awareness for domestic violence, probably somewhere in that season, I think 2015. So it was a very emotional story. I know it seems ridiculous to these to people, just when you hear these things that these guys are getting fined. But when I talk to, you know, those are the NFL rules, and I talk to the league office about it, and John Runyon, who I just mentioned, he's the NFL's vice president of policy and rules administration. John was, we know him as a former Eagles.
Former Eagle.
Right tackle, right?
Was in the House as well?
Yes.
Congressman?
Yeah, he's a politician too, and now working for the NFL. And he said, really, he explained it to me, he said they're not trying to single out DeMario. It's, or anybody when they do this kind of thing. It's not singling these guys out, but the reason they have to be sticklers for these rules, because if you allow one player to have a personal personal expression message, you have to allow everybody.
It's precedent.
And then how do you control what may be offensive to some, what may not be offensive? What if they're trying to wear a brand that is not a league sponsor brand? So it gets really confusing. So it can get out of control. You don't know who's going to police it. So I talked to DeMario about the situation, and I love it because he gets it, and he had a great attitude about it, and I love what he's doing with it. He's taking those headbands, the Man of God headbands, and now they have a Woman of God headband and a Child of God headband.
It's really cool.
Yeah, great.
So what they're going to do is they're going to sell those with 100% of the proceeds going to benefit the emergency department at St. Dominic's Hospital in DeMario Davis's home state of Mississippi. So you could find those headbands at sleefs.com, which is sleefs.com. They have a ton of different varieties of headbands in there. If you want to support DeMario Davis's cause, the Man of God, Child of God, and Woman of God are on there. They also have them, not just in Saints colors, but in pink.
Oh, so they got one then.
So DeMario told me, and we'll hear the entire interview and his really powerful testimony coming up. But he said he thought that this was an important chance to do this, to take an obstacle, which this was, and turn it into an opportunity. And I feel like that's such an excellent message, because in so many situations, what the enemy means for evil, God can turn into good. And there's an example as we sit here that you could speak on, Pastor Kyle, when Connect Church was hit by a wind. Do we still call it a wind event, or can we call it a
tornado? Look, I call it a tornado because that's what it was. But
right?
Yeah, I mean, right?
But I feel like in DeMario's case, his intentions were pure.
Agree.
What he was trying to do, just wearing the man of God. If our heart, if our intentions are pure, if our hearts are focused on doing work for the kingdom, God will, in fact, help take those obstacles, and he will turn them into opportunities. And how often have we said our mess becomes our message, our test becomes our testimony? And we can react, when things like this happen, we can react in a couple ways. We can face an obstacle, we can become angry with it, we can get defensive, we can, in certain cases, rebel against authority, or we can tackle it head on. We could look at these obstacles rather as challenges and try and find opportunities to turn those into a positive message. It can't be self-serving, because if it's self-serving, God knows our heart. And if God knows our heart, I don't know that it's going to be a blessed venture that we're going to pursue.
But check your heart. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. But you get these obstacles. You get these challenges. You get these adversities. And if your heart is there and the intent is good, God will help you turn that whatever's meant for evil to turn it into good.
Yeah, I mean, look, the word is clear that God is always working all things together for our good. It doesn't always feel good. No. We don't always think it is good from our perspective, but he really is working behind the scenes all the time to take these opportunities and these obstacles and turn them into opportunities for his glory. And that's what we have to recognize. It's really not even just about us. It's really about how do we utilize these opportunities to give God glory, to show the world his love, his grace, that he is in control, that he's a God that always wants to elevate us. I mean, we look throughout all the Bible from the very beginning to the very end. It's obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, right? I mean, like, no one knew who Noah was if there wasn't a flood, right? I mean,
it's not a smooth journey.
No, it's not, right? David has a Goliath. Daniel has a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have a fiery furnace. Jesus had a tomb, right? Lazarus was dead too. So, you know, there's all these obstacles. And I think at the end, and you know, God is always trying to grow our capacity for the blessing he wants to pour into us and the blessing he wants to pour through us, right? So and challenges are the things that grow our capacity.
Yeah.
So we always want to grow without challenge because we like to be comfortable.
They grow our faith.
But Rob, you go to the gym all the time. Like, you know, if you've never seen Rob is like, he's jacked, right? He's just is. He's always, no, you are. You always like complaining about, oh man, I'm not, I didn't get to get in the gym this week. I wish I looked like you and didn't get in the gym. But you know that your arms didn't grow without the tension of weight.
Yes.
Right? Your muscles did not expand without, the only way a muscle expands first is by being ripped down.
Right.
And so it's the same way with our faith. It's the same way with our love. It's the same way with our ability to give away grace or forgiveness.
Right.
It doesn't grow unless there's parts of us that are first challenged to be torn away so that then God can do something great.
I absolutely agree with you. And for me, it's all about focus. Where's your focus at? Every single day, that's my challenge, actually, with all the little minute stuff. I don't wait for the big stuff. I get challenged with my kids. I get challenged with my husband. I get challenged with life. And it's just all about my focus. Am I going to focus on the obstacle, or am I going to focus on Jesus and find him in that obstacle every single day? Like, you know, this weekend I was visiting my sister, and we were talking about life before we knew Jesus, like, really intimately.
Right.
And she was telling me about all these things and how hard life was and da-da-da-da. And she kept going. I was like, isn't it funny how as soon as we shifted our focus to Jesus and, like, really aligned ourselves with him, that things came. I'm not saying there's no obstacles, but I'm saying the obstacles came with some ease to it, that you just knew where to go. You knew that things were just now going in the right direction. So now obstacles, when they come, you're like, I got this. I can now shift my focus and go to a different direction and not just keep going, oh, this is hard, I can do it. I'm focusing on this horrible thing that's happening and I can't get myself out.
Absolutely. What we focus on, Remy, we give power to, right? So whatever we focus on, you know, if I'm trying to be on a diet and eat better and I say, don't eat chocolate cake, don't eat chocolate cake, don't eat chocolate cake. What are you going to eat? You're going to eat chocolate cake, right?
Exactly.
So everyone who's listening, don't eat chocolate cake tonight.
As we look, as we're 50 days into it, I still haven't had my pumpkin spice latte yet.
I don't know how you're doing it, brother.
I
you guys know the story. I've told it before in church, but you know, we work a lot with Iraqi refugees, and one of the life-changing moments for me was being in a refugee camp and hearing the story of a young man by the name of David who you know, lived in a place called Nineveh, which people who have read the Bible know that's where Jonah got out of the got out of the first submarine from and told about God, and it's a Christian community there in the middle of Iraq, and you know, when the enemy came in, they destroyed everything. They destroyed his business, his family, his friends. He didn't know Jesus at that point in time, and ends up in this refugee camp, and obviously, you know, all the horrors that that comes with. And in that refugee camp, it was a pastor who kept coming, showing up every day, just talking to him, giving him food, bringing him help. And through that expression, he comes to find Jesus. And he said to me, one of the things that changed my life so powerfully, he said, you know, Kyle, to be honest, I thank God every day for Al-Qaeda. I thank God every day for the guys who came. And he said, because although I had a great business and I had a great house and I had lots of friends there, I would not have known Jesus if it wasn't for that.
How about that?
And Remy, but that's the truth, right? So what you were saying, that's the truth. And now he shares, he brings that hope to other refugees as they come in. Look, I know this is what you're going through, but there's a hope. There's an answer.
Absolutely.
And his name is Jesus. And it is the matter of focus. It doesn't take away from what you went through to get to this moment.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
Danielle, a few years ago, went through cancer, and we, you know, as pastors, everyone, you know, expects you to have supernatural faith in the midst of it. And there were days that we had supernatural faith, and there were days that we struggled just like everyone else struggles, right? But in that, it has opened up so many doors for her to be able to talk to women, to talk to other men and women who have had, who not only just go through cancer struggles, but who go through sickness and disease and say, look, if God did it for me, He can do it for you. My God doesn't love me any more than He loves you.
She took that obstacle into
an opportunity. It's not saying I wasn't sick, right? Because I have pastor friends who used to say, you never admit that you're sick. And I'm like, if you never admit you're sick, you never give God an opportunity to be the healer. Right now, it's just about your faith, how good you are, how powerful you are, how big you are. No, look, I'm broken. I need Jesus. I get sick. I need Jesus, right? I get depressed. I need Jesus.
I love that. I want to go back to something Remy said about, you said you and your conversation with your sister, once your focus shifted to Jesus, and now when you have these obstacles, you're better able to handle them. And what happens, I feel like, once we fix our focus on Jesus or shift our focus to Jesus, we're able to handle these things not because we're better equipped to do it or these obstacles suddenly become less meaningful, because cancer's cancer.
Correct.
Whatever it is.
Correct, absolutely.
But what happens is He changes our heart.
Yes.
Right.
The Holy Spirit changes our heart.
Right.
See, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, when our focus is fixed on Jesus, our heart changes.
Absolutely.
And if our heart isn't changed, then we can't make progress. Mm-hmm. If our heart is still this, and we've talked about this, we've had entire episodes dedicated to this, but if our heart is still the same, and we're fixed on Jesus, and we're reading Bible verses, and we're reading all kinds of, listening to sermons, and going to services, and all that stuff, right? We could do all of that. But if they're just words, if they're just ways for us to feel good about, all right, this is what I do on Sunday.
Yeah.
I got my kids in Sunday school.
A positive routine that I go through.
Checked it off. And we need a change of heart. So fixing our eyes and focusing on the Lord, that's great. That's step one.
Yeah.
But we need to pray. I feel our heart doesn't change unless we ask for that. There's a slow transformation. I don't feel that immediately My heart certainly didn't change when I gave my life to Christ. I was stuck in religion for all those years, and once I realized I needed a relationship with the Lord, my heart didn't immediately change. Yeah. There was a shift,
yeah,
a huge shift, but I didn't instantly not have the same thoughts that I used to have.
Yeah.
I didn't
Correct.
Instantly walk down the street and see an attractive woman and put my head down.
Correct.
It took me time over time to say, okay, there's an opportunity for me to look at my
right.
phone.
Salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification is progressive. Right. So we talked about this week at church. You know, look, God says, I'm going to destroy your enemy little by little, unless the beast comes in and destroys you. And he's talking about the children of God going into the promised land, right? But he's saying, I'm going to do this little by little. Salvation is instantaneously. You're going to get into the promised yes. land instantly, but yes. but your capacity isn't set yet to be able to become, right. to fill the land, to fill right. the promises, to actually live this thing out. So that's what you're talking about, Remy. Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I feel like, see, imagine a car, right? And you put the gas in a car. That's like your salvation, right? You put the gas in a car. Now, when you go to a mechanic and then he tells you, oh, your alignment is off, dude.
Yeah.
What happened? That's that right there is your alignment with Jesus, with alignment with God. You need the alignment all the time.
All the time.
It doesn't just happen one time. It happens a lot. And any mechanic
yeah, you're
going to
hit a bump.
In yeah, I mean, yeah. when you hit potholes in life,
right.
exactly right.
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
these are the obstacles, but you need to repeat alignments every day.
Yep.
Every day it's an alignment. Every day that the enemy takes you right or left and you go, oh, no, I'm going straight, dude. I have to go straight. What are you doing? And you have to keep aligning yourself. And the Holy Spirit, that's the help with the Holy Spirit. It just keeps aligning you to keep going on that straight path every single day. But it's not easy. And it
no.
keeps you have to keep your focus straight. And you keep your alignment right. That's when you read the Word of God, you read the Bible, and you really ask Him to highlight verses for you, because that's what I do when I read. I just say, highlight a verse for you. And actually, I always feel it kind of like, I don't want to call it a punch in my stomach, but it kind of feels like this kind of like a tug.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel like, whoa, this really hit my spirit.
Yeah,
this,
it's a right. conviction.
It's a
conviction, Remy. Yeah, yeah.
And once that verse get highlighted to you,
yep.
meditate on that verse, and that's when the alignment comes, because he's aligning you. He's telling you, I'm highlighting this verse because it actually is going to help you in this season right now. It's helping you today.
Yep.
And that's what happens when you read with the intention of alignment.
That what you just said is so amazing, because the tug that you're feeling is when the car does get out of alignment a little bit.
Right.
I rented a
right.
car.
No,
I was out at Lambeau
true.
Field the other day, right?
Yeah.
I went to the Eagles Packers
yes.
game and rented a car, obviously.
Yeah.
And I got in the car, right? Had gas, Rem, right? I got it was
got
paid
the gas,
for.
Got the gas.
It was
go.
All gassed up.
Go. Yeah.
And immediately I started driving, and it's pulling to the left.
See, here you go.
It was just pulling to the left,
yeah.
right? And it's tugging,
yeah.
it's tugging. And I'm like,
Jesus
it's
right
automatically, you know, that something is out of alignment
right?
with this car. The tug is is out of alignment.
Yeah.
I'm actually grateful at times for certain challenges in my life, because they actually provide the tug for me. They go,
sure.
I think I'm all right with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get in that situation. I go, right. You think you have patience. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Until you get around some parents who are not good with kids. And then you're like, I'm going to strangle someone.
Right.
Or you get behind two cars going the same speed
right.
in the right and left lane.
You
think, right. So these things actually are tugs. And I think, remember, that's, you know, we get these things externally through
mm-hmm.
events. We get them
yeah.
internally through
right.
the Word of God and the Spirit when we
right.
get around those things. You know, we tell church all the time, you should never be comfortable in church. You should always be challenged, right? You should always
yes.
feel welcome. I want everyone
too
to feel welcome, but
want
I want people to
feel
challenged.
But they
want to
feel comfortable, and they get upset with it. If they feel challenged,
they get judgmental.
Yeah.
Like,
it's tough,
what's
but
this?
I love
it. We need it.
We need to be challenged.
We need to be challenged.
To be challenged.
Look, I'm not throwing you a birthday party, right? I mean, it's not, we just had a conversation about that before the show. We'll move on. But Sunday's not a birthday party. Sunday is actually, you know, any time that we get around men and women to help them grow, iron sharpening iron, we
yes.
talked about this in the NFL a lot, there
mm-hmm.
needs to be a godly challenge in that moment. Like, I'm not emailing or texting guys on the team or guys in my world just to say, hey, I love you. I do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm making sure that every time I put a Bible verse out there this is how we're applying this bad boy, because we need this.
Every time I get stale, I call my sister up and be like, hey, I need something to challenge me right now. What's up? I need something to kind of stir me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you reading? What are you listening to? And she does the same thing with me. And I'd be like, hey, I'm reading this book right now. It really stirred me up. Like, let's go. And then I go deep into the book, and then I search other things through the book, and then search the Bible again about the book. And I'm like, all right, I'm stirred up again.
Yes.
And you have to keep stirring yourself. It's kind of like when you're cooking and the sauce gets stale and get get that crust on it. You're like, what?
You got to stir it up again.
Disgusting. Yeah. It looks like it's been sitting there for like 5 days. You gotta get a spoon and stir that thing up.
Come on.
You gotta stir it up, and you gotta stir yourself up every single day in the things of God. Every single day. Yes.
It's easy to get so caught up and you're busy.
Absolutely.
Life's happening.
Oh yeah.
Challenges are occurring. Obstacles are in the way.
Right.
And you get caught up in that, and you want to survive the day. Right?
Correct.
Mm. We often want to survive the day. I want to get to tomorrow. I want to get through today. And I often want to just like stop myself in the middle of that chaos, whatever is my chaos that day, and say, one, I want to appreciate that I'm here.
Yes.
I want to appreciate that I'm in the middle of this chaos because I could not have this surrounding me. Mm-hmm. And my problems that I'm feeling right now, or the whatever is pushing at me right now, I could be in a different situation where none of it's happening.
Correct.
And I should really consider this blessings. Even if it's challenging, it's still a blessing. And once you look at it that way, and your focus, you kind of like realign your vision. You
totally.
Go, okay, here we go. I'm going to take this head on. I'm going to take this challenge. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to move on. I'm going to turn it. If there's an opportunity to be had, don't miss it.
Yes.
Don't miss out on that opportunity. Everyone listening to the show right now, if there's an opportunity in your obstacle, and I'm sure there is.
There is.
If you look, if you think about it.
Jesus is in the middle of it.
Exactly. There is an opportunity in the middle of your obstacle, in the middle of your challenge. Look for it. Look for ways to turn whatever that difficulty is for you, no matter what it is. We're talking about headbands and man of God headbands and glorifying the Lord.
Right.
But DeMario could have taken that situation and made it about him. I can't believe
100%. I can't believe it. Yeah, that's right. Me. That's right.
No, he said, how can I take this and do something
good with it? Yeah.
And we'll hear the interview coming up and focus on a little bit of what he said in it. And one of the things he said in there that I love and we'll get to is if people only know me as a man of God because I'm wearing a headband. I'm doing something wrong.
Yes.
Something is wrong.
Agreed.
So we'll hear that when we come back. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. Get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. You can also follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey. Every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. is an awesome time. Wonderful restaurant, great food, drinks, everything. Great place to watch a football game, whether it's Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, anytime. I'll be there every Tuesday night, 6 to 8. So come on out. Sports talk, trivia, giveaways, prizes, special guests. It's a wonderful time. The Tim Tebow event that I hosted was a very special evening. We're going to talk more about that next week. On November 2nd, I'll be the guest speaker at a gourmet men's breakfast at the West Lawn United Methodist Church in Reading, PA. Tickets are only $5, so come on out for an excellent breakfast, and I promise to give you a powerful message. Plus, we're going to have books, Birds of Prey copies, and Football Faith copies that'll be available, and I'll be able to sign those for you as well. So for tickets, call 610-678-5611. Again, that's November 2nd, West Lawn United Methodist Church in Reading, PA. It starts at 8 a.m. Also coming up October 24th, I want to invite and encourage you to register and attend Q Commons Philadelphia. It's from 7 to 9 p.m., hosted by my friends at the American Bible Society. This will be an inspiring evening where the American Bible Society is joining with over 100 cities across the globe for an evening of powerful TED Talks and conversation about how we can continue to bring hope and bring leadership to our communities and especially to our city, Philadelphia. Registration is now open. Seats are limited to the first 180. So go to qcommons.com/Philadelphia. Our guest this week, DeMario Davis, was a third-round pick by the New York Jets in 2012. He played four seasons there, spent one season with Cleveland, went back to the Jets for a year, and then joined the New Orleans Saints last year, where he's anchored the defense since then. He is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. His journey to Christ is going to resonate with so many of you out there, so make sure you take a listen. Here is my interview with DeMario Davis. DeMario, the NFL fined you $7,000 for wearing a headband that read "Man of God." We know it's not really to single you out because they have a rule against personal expression on uniforms. It doesn't mean we have to like their rules, but you know, you could have continued to wear it and the fines would have increased, or you could have turned it into a positive, which you're doing. How much did you have to really wrestle with that? Because I know, you know, sometimes when somebody comes at me for expressing my faith, I don't want to back down, but ultimately it's not about me. It's always about glorifying the Lord. So how was that for you?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said. I did wrestle with it a little bit because I wasn't sure of the rule at first. When I got fined, I wasn't until they fined me and they gave me clarity that, you know, they have a strict policy against messaging of any kind, because I've, you know, kind of wrote little stuff before on my towel and my wristbands. You know, I wore a headband for several games. So, you know, I didn't know to what degree they were enforcing whatever the rule was or what exactly the rule was. And so when it came out that I got fined and it was about the messaging, you know, at first I was like, oh, I got fined. Okay, I can't wear it. But then I was like, man, that's a Man of God headband. Like, you know, is it bigger than that? I don't want to make it bigger than that. But it's like, darn, that's conflicting because now I'm in a situation where, like, is this, am I being challenged? Am I being tested? Like, should I wear the headband, you know? And, is this an attack against my faith, or is it just, you know, as simple as just, you know, go follow the rules? So it was a kind of a conflicting situation. But the more and more I thought about it, you know, I don't think, you know, God in any situation would have me, you know, going and defying rules or disobeying rules, especially if it's not one that's putting, you know, making me deliberately disobey one of his commandments, or it's not putting, you know, myself or someone else in harm's way. So, you know, the Bible calls us to submit to authority, even if we don't necessarily agree. And so at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, me and how I feel. It's about what's going to ultimately bring the most glory to God. And I know for sure that I don't have to wear a headband for God to get glory for my life. He can get glory for my life whether I wear a headband or I don't wear a headband. And I think it's even cooler is that his name is written on my forehead regardless of the headband. You know, so if only people know me as being a man of God because I wore a man of God headband, then my life, something isn't right. I don't want people to know me to be a man of God, whether I got a headband on or not.
Yeah, it's about how we walk our talk, man. Absolutely. Now, I know you're looking into turning it into maybe a possibility where fans can purchase that headband, money goes to charity. How far along are you in that process?
Yeah, so we got something coming out right before the game. We're partnering with a Catholic hospital in Mississippi, St. Dominic's Hospital. We're partnering with them. They're rebuilding their emergency room. Okay. So all the proceeds will go to them. You know, I thought it was pretty cool to be working with St. Dominic and being a saint.
That's awesome.
And so I think, you know, one of the quotes I was reading today was talking about how you turn obstacles into opportunities. And So I think it's a great opportunity to use this as to continue to elevate the name of the Lord and glorify him. You know, even though I can't wear it, people can wear it and know that I would be right there with them if I could. And so we're going to try to release that right before the game. And, you know, just throughout the rest of the season, hope that, you know, people will pick up those men of God, woman of God, headbands, and, you know, represent their faith proudly, but also know that it's going towards a worthy cause. And, you know, I have to accept the rule. It is what it is, even though I don't necessarily agree with it and I want to wear it. But, you know, being that other people can wear it, you know, and I can kind of wear it through them, through fans, I think it's even better. And I'm happy that we're able to kind of turn this obstacle into an opportunity.
That's awesome. Damari, I mean, we live in a broken, sinful world. But as believers, we know that there's peace in Christ. There's hope in Christ. How important is it for people like you with that platform to share the message to the world, however way you can, whether it's a headband, whatever it is?
I think that's the most important thing, you know, more than any tackle, more than any sack, more than any interception, you know, more than any big play or big moment in football. I think the game is simply an opportunity to use as a platform to glorify the Lord. And so I'm always trying to talk to somebody about God, or always trying to talk to somebody about Christ, because it's the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest security you'll ever find in this world. This world will pass away, but it's the one thing that's eternal and the one thing that you can bank your head on. And because of that, I'm always trying to look for opportunities and ways to do that. And, you know, if that comes through a headband or that comes through a big play on the field and some type of recognition, the Bible calls us in all things, whatever we do, do it to the glory of the Lord. And so I think this is just another one of those situations where it's like, okay, whether this situation where whether I'm wearing a headband, I can bring glory to the Lord, or I don't wear the headband, I'm still going to bring glory to the Lord. And I think that's just one of the cool things about being a child of the King.
I know you, Damari, grew up without a father figure, and you were exposed to a lot of things that a lot of people might at a young age when you don't have a dad in the home: alcohol, marijuana, sex. You said that I've read where you said that your heroes back then were the guys who were in the streets, the drug dealers, and you ended up at one point getting expelled from school. You punched a glass window in a car. You almost might have killed yourself doing that. But then God really grabbed hold of you and allowed you to change your life by changing your heart. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I was mixed up in a lot of the wrong things just because of the environment I was in, not having that male guidance around on a daily basis. And yeah, that is true. You know, the guys who were role models to me, they weren't living, you know, the most righteous life, you know, but they had money, you know, they had things, they had the flashy things that, you know, caught my eye and the things that I desired. And, you know, I kind of chased after those things and was expelled from school, you know, did almost lose my life one night, end up in jail when I was a freshman in college. But, you know, a guy, our team chaplain, Chuck McElroy, ended up taking time and spending one-on-one time with me. And, you know, I was raised in the church. My grandmother had me in a church from the time I was young, she had me in a church. And so, you know, the Bible talks about when a child is young, teach them in the way they go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. And so as he started to spend time in the Bible and help to clarify things that I may have had questions about or didn't know, he started to walk my heart close to the Lord. And ultimately I was able to surrender my heart to the Lord. You know, the Bible started to make sense to me, and he ended up discipling me. And I understood for the first time in my life why Christ had to pay the penalty. You know, there was no righteous work that I could do to have my life saved, but Christ had already paid the price for me. And it just became real to me. And I just wanted to go and tell as many people about that as possible. And so ever since then, you know, I just been on this mission, you know, to get closer to God, you know, daily, and to make him known around the world daily. And so no matter what I'm doing, whether, you know, I'm speaking at a school, working with high school kids, whether I'm playing a game of football at the highest level, whether I'm traveling the country, everything that I do is about making the name of the Lord known.
I love that. What do you say, Damari, to youngsters who may not have a father figure? There's a lot of them around the country, around the world, that maybe, you know, even if you don't have an earthly dad, someone to guide you, someone to lead you, show you the way, we have our Father in heaven who's always there for us, and he won't abandon us if we trust in him fully and surrender to him.
Yeah, man, I would just tell him that though you may not have an earthly father around, you have a heavenly father. that's near and that's close and that sees you and wants a close relationship with you. And my spiritual, my heavenly Father is the one who drew me close to him and gave me everything and taught me how to be a man, an uplifted man, an upstanding man in society, how to be one that glorifies him on a daily basis, how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, how to be a good role model. And in that, he also ended up restoring the relationship with my earthly father, and I was able to forgive him, and now we have a great relationship. And so God is able to do far more abundantly than anything that we can ever ask or imagine.
That's amazing, man. I love to hear that. And I think sometimes we limit our heavenly Father and we say, I just want this, or I just expect this much. But I think if we trust in him as much as we can and put all of our faith in him, he'll give us beyond what our dreams can imagine. I don't know if you ever would have thought that would have happened, huh?
Never. I never would have thought that coming. Never.
Wow.
I got my father's asking to surrender his life to Christ and
amen.
Living a life, to glorify the Lord.
Man, that's beautiful, DeMario. Well, man, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to spend some time with me today.
All right, man, I appreciate you. Be blessed.
That was New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. We're going to talk about it next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob and Remy and Pastor Kyle, we just heard DeMario Davis speak about the way he's handled the headband situation with the NFL, the Man of God headband, and he really openly shared how he came to know Christ, such a powerful testimony. I talked about it a little bit earlier. I love what he said about the headband, because if people only knew him as being a man of God because he's got this headband on, then he said, something in my life isn't right. I want people to know me to be a man of God, whether I'm wearing a headband or not. He's like, man of God's really tattooed on my forehead. This is one of those where it hits me. It hit me hard, because as I was growing up, wearing the cross chain,
yeah,
and wearing all kinds of gold jewelry, right. Like, yeah, here I am, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing whatever I want to do, but I'm a man of God. See, I got the jewelry on,
yeah.
And then eventually,
you got the tattoos.
And eventually, I graduated to tattoos. I was like, I don't want to wear gold anymore. Yeah. It's not in right now. Let me get the tattoos, and I got the religious symbols all over me. I'm a man of God. I got the dove on my thigh, the Holy Spirit. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to guide me as I walk every step, but it's not about letting people know through your, it's not really even your words.
Yeah.
It's not really just the symbols that you use. It's your actions.
Yes.
It's the way you love on people. It's the way you forgive people. It's the way you talk to people. It's the way you treat people. It's the way you respect and how fair you are. And really, it ultimately, love, 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 love. So if we keep telling people, yeah, I'm a man of God, I'm a man of God, but I'm going off and doing different things, what does that say about your faith? What does that say? How are you representing Christ? Yeah. I get this so often when because of what I do and people know me, and the media is always very cynical, right?
Yes.
And they'll
really? The media cynical?
They'll look at a guy, right? No. They'll look at a guy who professes to be a Christian, a believer, and he'll mess up.
Yeah,
right?
They're waiting for him to mess up.
Yep, yeah, they'll mess up. And now I always get, hey, that's one of your guys. That's one of your guys. What do you have to say for that? I'm left to answer for the behavior
of
someone else who is a professed to be believer who messed up.
Yeah.
And it happens. And my answer is always, we're all human, and the only perfect person was Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And people get tired of hearing that, and then they think there's hypocrisy in it. But I love that DeMario is above, understands that, recognizes that, realizes that, and he's like, it's not about the words. It's not about the headband. It's who I am and what I represent.
I actually thought his response was brilliant from the standpoint of being able to say, look, when I found out that the rule was what the rule was, the Bible says, you know, to kind of honor the authority that's above you. So, I mean,
Even if you don't believe,
may not agree with that, right? It's not immoral law. It wasn't an immoral law. It wasn't an unscriptural law. So, you know, I love the fact that he actually made even his statement and his response out of faith. And Rob, I agree with you. I think I just want to continue to encourage our listeners though to live in this tension between word and work. Mm-hmm. That it can't be just one or the other. Right. You know, faith without works is dead, but works without faith is equally dead, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this thing, there are a lot of good people out there that they do good things, but if you're only doing good things without telling them the reason why that Jesus loves people, that you know, that the kingdom of God is real. So Jesus came feeding people, healing people, but the word says he also came bringing the kingdom of God. So with our TKC truck, right? We always talk about food is the means, but Jesus is the end.
I love how you guys say that, because people say, oh, you're giving us free food. Why?
Right.
Because it's on us, because he loves you.
Right. Exactly.
And it makes people think, okay.
It's
about something bigger than this.
Correct. I don't even need to say I'm doing these things because I'm a Christian man. I'm doing these things because Christ loves me. Like the wording still, even in it, it's not about drawing the attention back to me. It's literally about drawing the attention to the one whom we're doing it with and for. Jesus is in this. This is who we're about.
I feel like the whole thing comes down to a heart posture at all times. Like your heart, where is your heart? If your heart is always yielding, if your heart is always in the right place, it doesn't matter if sometimes you mess up. Thank you, Jesus, for not judging us based on the actions of the everyday thing, the daily little things. Because sometimes we obviously have to mess up because we are sinful.
Because we do,
You know, I wake up every day wanting to have a perfect day,
right? And we do. I know,
not the perfect day in everything surrounding me, but I want to be able
to want my response
to be perfect. I screwed up this morning right away.
Yeah, thank
my
you.
Girls were yes, not ready to go. They weren't ready to go to school. It's 8:30. I'm ready. And now I'm sending them off to school after yelling at them.
Uh-huh.
And I literally just got out of bed telling myself I'm going to respond better
let's
to everything
that.
Today.
He literally got out of bed. Like, I've been up for like an hour and a half, like getting all this thing done. And then he rolls out of bed, rolls down the stairs and start yelling. And I'm like, dude, what is happening?
So the perfect day ended like about 3 minutes.
I was like, all right.
But 3 minutes of perfect.
The great thing is I get to start all over.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, we kissed and hugged. Yeah, and we sang Jesus songs in the car ride on the way to school. And they forgot all about it.
Right. So back to the heart posture. Yes. So your heart was
Yes.
So the heart was in the right place. The actions were not.
No.
So thankfully, that's what God does with us. He forgives us. He forgives us all these little minute things that we do, but he wants our heart to always be in the right place. And that's
I want to talk
important.
Also about a couple other things that DeMario mentioned in the interview. So much good stuff in there.
So much.
He said the playing the game for him is simply an opportunity to use a platform that he's been blessed with to talk about the Lord. And his words were, Christ is the greatest joy, greatest peace, greatest security you ever find in this world. He knows this. He recognizes this. And he looks for ways to spread that message. That's basically how this show evolved. We wanted
absolutely.
To take athletes and use their testimony, use their words to appeal to fans of sports to spread the message of Jesus Christ. And we are now 3 years into it, over 100 episodes into it. And it's so awesome to be able to do that. But at the same time, I always like to impress upon people, you don't need to be DeMario Davis. You don't need to be Remy, Kyle, or Rob and have a platform. There's always an opportunity to spread your faith and spread the message of Jesus right where you are every day.
We talk, you and I talk about a lot. Look, everyone else has a platform. It's you know, and what we're called to use it for is the platform of the kingdom. So if you're a mom or a dad, you've got a platform, right? If you're a brother or a sister, right? You have a platform. If you're a college student, a high school student, if you're a coworker, look, there is no mistake. the environment that God has placed you in.
Right.
He has placed you there on purpose. And that purpose is actually to bring light into darkness, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring some joy into the midst of a world that, you know, when you turn on the news can be very dark and disappointing and disillusioning. So, you know, we
Remy
all have
don't watch the news. She won't even let us.
I don't.
Same way?
I don't always think that's a bad thing. I'm kind of with her.
She doesn't want to hear the stories. I heard this and this
and
happened.
I tell him, why again are you telling me this?
Why are you telling
me? If it's not going to add to my life, please don't share. Like it's just.
It's scary out there, but we have a better answer.
Yeah, we do.
And I think, really, on us to share it, to spread it, and to let people know. This was really powerful what Damari was talking about, and I didn't know this story when I interviewed him. I knew that he had grown up in a troubled background, didn't have a father figure, had all kinds of issues, and he talked about it, he had been expelled from school, and the one time when he punched the a glass window on a car, could have killed himself, but he did have a background in the church.
Yeah.
See, And I think the relationship with the church through his grandmother was always there, and it may not have been at the forefront of his life for several years, and then it started to come out, and through various different ways, and the chaplain and other
the seeds were there.
Seeds were there, and he eventually surrendered all, as he said. He surrendered everything to Christ, and that's how he came to the Lord. But what is so powerful is that, and then he reconnected with his dad, and through his transformation, his dad changed
too. That's powerful.
That is how every one of us can, other people through our testimony can come to Christ.
It's so powerful. Just never give up. You know, just like God never gives up on us, never give up on the people in your lives around you, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just keep bringing the truth.
Absolutely.
When we have that truth, when we know what that solution is, when we know what that answer is, man, share it, get out there.
You know, we were talking this week about Pete Rose, and he's obviously an infamous figure, but a phenomenal player, obviously. And the Major League Hits leader, all-time hits leader. He got his first hit August 8th. April 8th, 1965. And 63. And in 1985, September 11th, he broke Ty Cobb's record. Like, in the middle of that streak, he had times when he struck out, didn't have any hits, and there's times that he had multiple hits. He just kept coming to the plate. You know, there's going to be times that we strike out sharing the gospel. There's going to be times that we strike out in our own lives wanting to, Rob, you came to the plate this morning and struck out, right? But that doesn't define who you are, right?
I mean,
Pete's first hit, 22 years later, right? He's breaking the record. We all want to be the record holder, but it starts with one hit and then, hey, like, just keep coming. You could have had a streak. You cover baseball. These guys go through streaks, where they either home run streaks or strikeout streaks or hitless streaks. You gotta just keep coming
short
to the
memory.
Plate.
You gotta have a short memory.
And keep sharing the gospel.
Quarterback, you throw an interception, you gotta forget about it. You gotta go after and attack it, but keep sharing the gospel. Sometimes I know you do this as a pastor. Sometimes when I'm speaking and I'm at an event and then at the end I do an invitation, and sometimes four people come up I do it publicly. I say, hey, come on up to the altar.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want you raising your hand.
Yeah.
I want you coming up. I want to see this. Sometimes it's four. Sometimes it's 44.
Right.
I'm going to keep trying. That's all we got today. We're out of time. Thank you to all our listeners and followers. Thanks to DeMario Davis. Huge thank you to our EVP Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thanks also to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, all he does to make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We couldn't do this without your support. Please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonthefieldshow.com, and also follow them on social media. Not only great companies, but even better people. So thank you to Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, and Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Also, thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.